you start, because I got the gist of what we're going to talk about.
Okay. Welcome back to A Daughter's Dilemma podcast, where we discuss interactions between mothers and daughters. I am Rodnique, the daughter.
And I am Nephra, the mother. And today we have a very, very special guest. I am honored that he agreed to be on our podcast, because we have a very, what's the word I'm looking for, great topic.
Yes.
A little controversial, but I think the conversation needs to be had, right?
Right.
So I want to introduce to you all my son. See, we're always talking about mothers and daughters, but many of you don't know I have a son.
They know.
At the you age talk about of Michael 19. And he is joining us on our podcast today. Say hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. My name is Michael, or my mom calls me Mike, so.
Mike, Michael, Mikey.
You know.
Same thing.
Either one.
Yeah, he's a little shy, but he has agreed to have this conversation with us today, and I am excited. What about you, Ronnie?
Yes, I am super excited. You know, we've been trying to get Mikey over here for a minute.
Yes, we have been trying to
and he was like,
podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know what y'all do.
I don't know too much about whatever is going on, but I'm excited to be here. So
I mean, you listen to podcasts. You know how they, you know, flow. And
that's just two voices floating in my ears.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm not really there in the studio with them with the microphones and the sound.
I feel like I am. When I listen to podcasts, like, yeah. I feel like I'm listening to my friends talk. Like, they're not there physically with me, but I'm listening to my friends talk.
Got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So today, we're going to talk about parents treating their children differently. And I know there are a lot of people out here that can relate to being treated differently by their mother and their father. And so today we're going to talk about, is that an actual thing?
Yes.
Like, is that possible? Now, we know it's an actual thing, right? But we're going to talk about it today. Mike and Ronique will give their insight on what they feel. Even I, as a parent, whether I treat them differently, okay? And we might talk about dads, but we don't know yet, okay? We just gonna see what happens in regards to that.
Mikey got a look at his face like, yikes.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mom, before we get started, I have a question. Do you think that your mom treated you different versus your brother? Or your other sister?
Right. I think she did.
Okay.
But there was this age gap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my brother and my sister are closer in age than I
mm-hmm.
am. So for them, I think, yes, she did. But I think I got in more trouble.
Gotcha.
Like, I got held accountable more.
Do you think that you got in more trouble because you were younger or because you were a girl?
I think I got more in trouble because I was bad. Because I was doing things I ain't had no business. I was doing stuff I ain't had no business doing.
Okay.
But ultimately, you guys know my story. My sister and my brother, they moved away. And it was just me and my mom for many, many, many years
mm-hmm.
by ourselves. So there was nothing to compare to at that time.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, when I was younger, 6 or 7, yeah, I believe she did treat us differently.
Okay.
I didn't really care at the time.
Right.
To be honest. I just felt like I was held accountable more. And I don't know. And I think it was probably, to answer your question, I think it was probably because I was a girl.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So we're going to get that conversation out the way. Do you guys think that I treat you guys differently?
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh.
Mikey, why do you say yes?
I say yes because, once again, like, as mommy said the first time, sorry guys, I call her mommy anyways, but as she said, there's an age gap between us. We're 7 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like a lot of the time we were treated differently because we needed to be. We were at two different, like, stages in our development,
yeah,
you know? And so it calls for us to be and, like, to have two different dynamics with mom.
Yeah.
And because you're older, you had 7 whole years ahead of her with mom. You're closer to her.
Yeah.
You guys have that connection. It was just you and her.
I mean, somebody else was there, but it was just me and her.
Irrelevant. But, with that, I feel that, oh my God,
You forgot your thought?
Yeah.
It's okay. It happens.
It's okay.
You can bring it back up. That's why we do this.
If you find the thought, just say it.
Okay. Yeah. I feel that we were treated differently because of that age gap. And since you were there first, you got more time, more one-on-one time with her. Whereas when I came into the picture, she had to divvy up that time between two people.
Yeah.
And so with that time divvy and us being two completely separate people, we have to, and she has to find a way to relate to us both.
Yeah.
And because she had longer time with you, I think that she developed a stronger connection, stronger bond with you. Not on the basis of like a mother-daughter, like mother a child relationship, but just like getting to know each other as people and what you guys like personality wise because she had more time with you.
I can agree with that.
Yeah,
I think that,
hold on,
okay.
So saying that, Michael, do you think that we are not close?
No.
Okay.
We have two different, like, we have two different dynamics.
I'm talking about not close now.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, we have two different, like, how you relate to Ronique is not how you're going to relate to me. You can't come to me and talk about makeup. I don't even know what foundation is, to be honest. Like, that. Like, see, like, I, the most I'll do is some mascara and some lip balm, and then I'm out the door. But,
okay, gotcha.
Like, you can relate to me, like, one thing that we both like is, like, old movies. Like, things with, like, James Stewart and, like, things like that. We can relate on media, whereas you can relate to her with, like, you both are women, you can relate to, like, dealings and how the world treats you and, like, the relationships and friendships that you have, whereas that may be a bit different for me as a gender non-conforming person.
Okay.
You know? So that doesn't necessarily mean that we're not close, we're just not close in the same way.
Right. You're close in a different
aspect. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I like it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. What do you think, Remy?
I was gonna say that I definitely think that you treated us differently, like Mikey said, because we have such an age gap, and because we're two separate people, I'm a girl, he's a boy. Right. That just is what it is. But I think that it also, I feel like you treated us differently because I feel like with me, it was kind of like a practice run. And then when Mikey came along, it was like, okay, I got this down. And so this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it right this time. We're going to skip the mistakes. We're going to go straight to what we need to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is definitely what I did more with him.
Yeah.
Growing up. Now, I feel like, now here's a question I'm going to ask both of you guys. Mm-hmm. Because treating your kids differently can mean treating them badly sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hear about these stories of these mothers having these all these sons and then have a daughter and the daughter's being treated badly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or vice versa, you know, and the son is treated badly. Do you think that there was a difference even in punishment and consequences? Were you treated more harshly than he was, or was he treated more harshly than you were?
I think that I was treated more harshly in my punishments than he was.
Okay.
But I think that because Mikey was at a certain point, Mikey was able to verbalize that I don't like this punishment.
Yeah.
So we need to figure out a different punishment because this isn't working. And for me, I'm just like, this is what I get what I get. So I get punished the way I get punished. That's just what it is.
Okay. All right.
But I don't think that you intentionally treated me worse or intentionally made those punishments more harsh.
Right.
I just think we just need, we have different learning styles, so we had to be reprimanded as such.
Right, right. I know for me, I was a whooping. I was a whooping mama. I gave out whoopings. I handled whoopings.
Handed them out like candy.
Yes, I did. Okay. However, listen up. But I had to, but Michael made me think about the whoopings.
Yeah.
Right? Because I would give whoopings because I got whoopings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I felt like I was a great person. And I'm okay. You know what I'm saying? So, for you, I think that was the same thing. Okay, I get a whooping. As I get the cell phone, the Nintendo.
Exactly.
As long as I get the TV, long as I get the all
there
of that.
There you go. We go like 30, 45 minutes, we get a whooping, and then we can take some time to calm down. And it, oh, ma'am.
They were not 30 to 45 minute whoopings.
Okay, they were 30 to 45 minutes.
They might as well have been infinite, honestly. It felt like it was too long.
It felt like forever, okay? Especially the build up, like when she got to talk to you before the whooping. We got to have the conversation.
And then you got
to
wait in the room by
yourself. And then you got to wait in the room while she go get the belt. Like the just the anticipation to the whooping felt like an eternity.
Like this consequence of purpose.
Okay, and then as you end the whooping, as you actively getting hit with the belt, it just really, it feels like forever until it stops. And then it's like,
finally.
Right. Yeah, and right. You just have to collect yourself at that point.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So when it came to that, though, I think the whoopings were because I had got them and I really didn't think about how they were damaging.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike really was like, this is damaging.
Yeah.
Like, he had the conversation with me. Like, this is just not going to work. And I did see in that conversation how it was damaging him.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, I had to stop him. And we had to resort to something else.
Yeah.
For you, one day, they didn't work.
Really?
They did. Mm. You hollered for theatrics.
maybe if I give her a good show, it'll stop.
Yep. And when I realized you were hollering for theatrics, for one, I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, this is not working. This is not working.
Yeah.
So then that's when I began to take things and then the tears would roll. Okay, there we go. Now I got you on some consequences.
Yeah.
But not that I was trying to make you guys cry. It was, again, there had to be some type of consequence. But I found out early on that, especially with Mike, they just didn't work. They did not work at all.
Yeah.
So it's going to be important that we all understand that treating your children differently, it's just going to happen. They're different people, mm-hmm. right? If I had 6 kids, I would have to treat probably all 6 different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we like to clump those kids together because they just kids.
Yeah.
Right? We lump them in that kids category and we just leave it alone, but they're individuals.
Yeah.
And that's what I really learned more as your mom, as you were growing up, because Mike didn't like anything you liked. And I'm like, oh my God, if you didn't like anything he liked. Like, for a minute there, y'all wasn't even getting along because you ying and I'm too tan.
You know, I'm not too tan.
Yeah, just ying and too tan. You know, y'all just two different. What?
Right.
Like, I'm on planet, you were on planet Venus and he was on planet Uranium.
Yeah.
And the currency wasn't the same. The communication wasn't the same.
None of it.
Yeah. It was challenging at times. But you guys found a common ground in electronics.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, you know what? They go out to hit every electronic out there so that they could bond. But what's going to be important, again, as I stated, is that you're going to get treated differently.
Yeah.
But what's going to be important is that you're treated fairly.
Yeah.
So that's the ultimate question. Did I treat you guys fairly?
I think so.
I do as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I treat you guys fairly? So that's what's going to be super, super, super important. I found some articles that were interesting. And I had a conversation with a young lady who actually felt like that her mother treated her worse than she did her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Same scenario. They were 9 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And she was the older daughter. He was the younger son. And he got everything, and she got nothing.
Mm.
Now, she's an adult. She's around about your age.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael, and the son is around about Michael's age. I think he's about 17.
Mm-hmm.
And he has everything. Like, she said, when I grew up, I was mistreated. I was abused. I was emotionally abused. She said she wasn't physically abused, but she was emotionally abused.
Yeah.
And she was not happy with her mother's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always tried to yearn for her love in that relationship. Then the boy is born, and he gets it all.
And he just gets it. He ain't got to fight for it.
He ain't got to fight for it. He don't have to do anything. He just gets it all. He got the latest shoes. She said they was going to Walmart and Target and Kmart at the time for her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he at the mall.
Mm.
She wearing Payless. Remember Payless shoe store?
Mm-hmm.
She said she was wearing Payless shoes.
Mikey, have you ever worn Payless shoes?
Yes, once. And then they shut down.
I'm like, I remember going into a Payless.
Yeah.
I don't remember necessarily putting the shoes on my feet.
Let's focus. Okay. So she then, she had to get a job at one point. She paid for all of her high school activities.
Yeah.
And her mom paid for everything. Her mom paid for everything. She even didn't get a car till she was grown, and he got a car at 15.
Mm.
She literally, you can't even drive. A car.
What
Well, I mean, he had a permit at the time.
You can't drive by yourself.
You cannot drive by yourself, but he had his own car.
Wow.
Still has it, uncle. The car breaks down now. Mama gets it fixed.
Mm.
And so she has her own children now,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so she says it's really hard. I think for her circumstance, she feels as if her mother just didn't like her as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that you and I can talk about, right? Yeah. Why is it that the mom doesn't like the daughter? Because yeah. that's what she feels like. I just don't think my mama liked me. I know my mama loved me because she my mother.
Right.
But I just don't think she likes me.
Yeah.
Like, what could that be?
Jealousy.
But mama had her. There would be no her without the mama.
So?
Because what is she jealous of?
A fresh start.
Right, a fresh start. She's jealous of her youth. She's maybe jealous of her beauty. One of our mutual friends.
Okay.
She told me that her mom literally told her that she hated her because she did not, because she stole her looks, is what she said. Is what she said to me.
What does that mean?
She stole her looks. I guess she, I don't know. I don't know what that means. I really don't know.
She put her but, thing down, flipped it and reversed it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I also feel like people in general have this preconceived notion that boys are just easier. And I feel like because people just think that boys are easier, you can just give them everything and then they'll just kind of figure out the rest.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. They have to be nurtured and taught just like everybody else.
Yeah, I made that mistake
They don't
too.
Just get it.
Yeah,
you know,
I made that mistake
and I feel like people think because being a male is like such a big thing in our world, black, yeah. white, whoever, as long as you got a pee-pee, then you are above everybody else.
Yeah.
And I think because people have that ideology, that's why they think that, oh, well, he's a guy, he's got it. Boys will be boys. It's okay. He'll grow out of it. But no, you have to teach him to grow out of it. You have yeah. to teach him to behave.
Yeah.
You have to teach him how to treat other people. But instead, they're like, I'm just going to give him everything he wants and then he'll figure it out from there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you want to check out my last YouTube video, I did a true crime and makeup story. She gave him everything he could ever want, and then he murdered her. So.
It happens.
It happens. They end up bad sometimes.
They end up bad. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that YouTube video, what's the name of that YouTube channel?
The name of my YouTube channel is Radniq, RadNique.
Yes. Let's go ahead and check it out. Matter of fact, a new post, a new video went up today.
It did.
Yes.
New videos every Wednesday.
Every
will
Wednesday.
Be in the subscription.
Yep.
Yeah.
Description. Oh my God.
It's okay.
It's okay.
So when it comes to treating people badly, and we came into some articles. One article stated that fathers tend to favor the sons and mothers tend to favor the daughters. That's the bigger thing. And I think mm-hmm. it's more of a gender identity type thing, mm-hmm. right? That I can relate because that's how I feel with you.
Yeah.
It's a gender identity thing. You know, you are a black woman. I'm a black woman.
Yeah.
We can relate to black woman stuff.
Right.
Right? With him, with Mike, I have to be purposeful
mm-hmm.
in getting that connection, which is one reason why we stayed right here so we could work on that connection together.
Yeah.
Meaning I didn't move, guys. I was going to move, and I didn't move. I said, you know what? It's just going to be me and my son. Let's talk. Let's get a bond. And that is what we have been working on.
Yeah.
To get that connection. Be deliberate with that. However, most people who have conflict in their families, where it is the mother, the father, the daughter, the son, the problem is with the opposite sex sometimes,
mm-hmm.
right? Fathers are favoring the daughters, and then mothers are favoring the sons.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? And so then that becomes a problem with the other siblings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to really look at that. Are you favoring one child over the other? Are you treating one child better than the other?
And like, really think about it. Really think about the unconscious biases you may have, because you may feel like you're treating them equally, but like, in actual practice, does your child feel like they're given a fair shot?
Right.
You know, like when they say that, I think in one of your
articles, they talked about the dating ages between kids and how people set a dating age. Yeah. I remember being told I'm not allowed to date till I'm married. You got to be a certain age. You got to do all this stuff.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You didn't say that.
I can't. Oh, okay.
His daddy said that. But either way, okay, I still remember being given those rules and restrictions as if I'm not responsible with my body. But I don't remember Michael ever being told that he got to wait till a certain age or he has to. But I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I didn't see it. So it didn't feel
equal.
My father knew I was a flaming homosexual. So the concept of dating and, like, getting married and all that really just escaped our conversation.
He just really stayed far away.
He just really didn't engage because he knew he wasn't going to get an answer that he would like. And then at that point, what relationship do we have? Because
right.
You're going to say something, and I'm going to say something, and then there'll be no words. Okay. So.
Yeah.
Because I did allow you to date, though.
You did.
And I allowed Michael to date. And what was the age I told y'all could date?
I don't know.
Oh, you didn't give us an age.
Yeah. I did.
We didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah.
I think you said for me, I had to be at least like high school age, like 15, 16.
You actually, I said around 14.
Yeah, high school age. Right? That's how old I
was. Yeah, but she did have a little 8th grade boyfriend.
7th to 8th grade. Okay,
who did? Absolutely. But, and then for you, it was high school time. But again, it's about treating the children fairly.
Yeah.
I feel like it's also really about talking to your children because they are your children, but at the end of the day, they are people that you are growing. And so, in terms of how they're raised, I feel like if you collaborate with your children on what they like to do, like how you said I spoke to you about how the punishments were not working for me because they were having like a serious effect on like how I discipline myself in my everyday life when we're not together.
Yeah.
So like if I can come to you with something like that, then other parents should be able to listen to their kids and how they want to be treated in their household and how they want to like interact. Because another thing that I feel happens is that boys get more privacy than girls.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Absolutely.
How so?
How so is that? Oh God. I feel that boys get more privacy than girls because, like Ryanique said, parents tend to have a "I'll leave them to it," like they'll figure it out type of mentality.
Okay.
Whereas women in this country are in a weird position to where they are either perceived as undervalued or overvalued to the point of like micromanagement and surveillance. I feel like at times men, or I should say fathers, will watch their daughters closely than they watch their sons because they want to make sure that their daughters aren't in quote unquote harm's way when really there is no harm. You just need to talk to your daughter about equipping her with the right information to protect herself because you're not always going to be there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I like that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's what I tried to do with you all, which is why I let you date.
Yeah.
It was about educating you.
Right.
If you knew about the risks. Syphilis of the mouth, okay, then you would know what you shouldn't be doing.
Well, here's the thing. That wasn't really the issue for me. I always remember being told that if I have a baby and I bring home a baby, I got to take care of that baby all by myself. And that's the part that really stuck with me.
Okay.
Now, even in my 25th year. That, you know, you really have to be ready and you have to be responsible. And it really, I think having those conversations really helped me to police myself and police my own body and my own activities, which is ultimately what you want to do.
Okay.
But I feel like, part of me feels like parents who don't talk to their kids about those things or don't trust their kids to do certain things because, you know, the world is dangerous. You don't know who's out there, blah, 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 blah. I feel like it's more you don't have faith in your own parenting. You don't have faith that you have instilled that child with the knowledge and the education to be able to make proper decisions for themselves.
Yeah.
So then I'm going to make all of the decisions for you, and then you're going to grow up and then start making all these decisions, and like you don't know what you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't trust your child, it's because you know you didn't equip them.
Yeah.
And instead of equipping them, you micromanage them.
Yep.
Or you show them that you don't trust them. So in turn, they turn around and don't trust you.
and themselves.
And then you wonder why the relationship is in chaos. You wonder why there's some real major issues.
Yeah.
You wonder why they don't call, they don't come by, they don't visit, they don't want to talk to you.
You know, actually, I had a conversation today. Mm-hmm. I told you that we were at a friend's house. And I was talking to their mom, and they were trying to have a conversation, and she just kept interrupting, and she just wouldn't let anybody else talk. And I'm like, this has to be a conversation. You have to talk, and then they have to talk. She's like, no. I am the mama. They listen to me. And I'm like, okay, that's great, until they walk out the door and they never come back because they don't feel heard.
Right.
Right? And then we proceeded to have an actual conversation where we revealed some stuff that nobody ever knew. We talked about things that they had never talked about before.
All because she was quiet.
All because she was quiet.
See what silence does.
You learn new information when you just be quiet.
You just be quiet.
So we talked about the difference between mothers and fathers treating daughters and sons differently. We more so talked about the mother aspect, which is myself. So one of the things that we can talk about is, do you think your dads are treating you guys differently amongst their other children? Because your dads have other kids. Mm-hmm. So is there a difference? Let's talk about it.
I think... Actually, Mike, I'm going to let you go first.
Go ahead. Hey, woman. You can go ahead. You can start. Go for it.
Okay, so I think that... Absolutely not. I don't think that I've been treated fairly by my dad since I was born. Especially when he started having other kids, I really feel like I just got swept under the rug. Yes. And, you know, he didn't care about me. At all. Period. To this day, I know for a fact he don't care about me. So, no. And it's not just boys versus girls, because I did see a lot that his boys lived with him more than my sister, his only other girl. But she still got more of the love and the attention and the spoiling that I never got, that I never ever received.
Okay.
Of course, it was different because she was a girl. And, of course, the boys, you know, they would play video games together and, you know, relate on that boy level.
Right.
But I don't care if you're a boy or a girl. I'm not getting treated fairly.
Okay.
Period.
But okay. One thing that I have noticed is when in, like, dynamics between where there are a couple and they have a child and that relationship sours, some people have a tendency to direct that animosity towards the child, even though that child had done nothing wrong or deserving of that treatment.
That's correct.
They're just caught in the middle, and he needs somewhere else to direct his anger because he doesn't know how to process it. So I think that's where your situation comes in and why there were both boys and girls, either younger or older, who were getting treated fairly, well, more fairly or better than you. When it comes to my father, he definitely favored me over my sister Ranique because I was his firstborn, firstly, and also I believe because I was a boy. And so he never really knew how to be a parent, because for the most part his own parents were not really parents, they were more caretakers. And
I feel like, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second, but I feel like he never really tried to actively be involved in my parenting. You know, like, I remember every time there was a parent-teacher conference or something going on in school or whatever it was, you know, I need to get to this place or I need to do this or whatever, it was always my mom doing it. So I always felt like he was always there, but he wasn't a parent.
Right.
So even though you have this child here who may not necessarily be yours, you still didn't even get the practice in to try to figure it out.
Right.
You just waited till you had your own. That's how I feel.
And so, I felt that I was favored by my father. And would I say that that's treating me fairly? No. Because there have been times where me and my dad are together. When I was younger, so we're together. And I wished to be alone. And he would not let me because he wanted his son around. He wanted to have time together and whatnot. And I'm like, you have a whole, like, two other bodies in the house to go interact with. So why don't you go just do that? Give me a minute. You know? And never really happened, no. So, yeah, I feel that even being favored more, and then me being an empathetic person, seeing how that affects Varnique and her not getting, like, she's already had one father that failed her, now she has another one.
Yeah.
That's coming in and doing the exact same thing, but in her home and her face. Like, that's, like, not... Like, it just wasn't curling all the way over for me, and it, like, never has.
Okay.
So even if I was being favored by my father, or when I was being favored by my father, I didn't necessarily enjoy it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's a good perspective.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can think about even your siblings now. Did they enjoy that attention that you thought you wanted? Mm-mm. You know?
No idea.
So, yeah. That's a very, very good point. So to think about your actual favoritism for your children, are there areas in a relationship with your parent that you feel is given more attention to one sibling versus the other? So for example, when it comes to education, let's talk about education. Was there favoritism there? Were we treated differently then, right? Because there could be areas in your life where mom just wasn't there. And yeah, but for him, he go to college. And for her, I don't get to go to college.
Right.
You know, you ain't paying for my education, but you paying for his. So are there areas, do you think, that there was some education differences?
I definitely think there were some education differences. Y'all know it ain't no secret around here. I feel like Michael got better opportunities. I feel like he got to go to better schools. I feel like he got to participate in more things than I ever had the opportunity to participate in.
Right.
But also our learning styles. And I realized this as I was reading one of your articles, that it said that boys are usually praised more for process. So just, oh, you gave it a good try. You know, you did a good job figuring that out. But girls are praised based on rewards.
Right.
So I always felt like, even in school when I wasn't doing well, if I'm not doing well in this specific subject, nobody cares that you're trying. You're failing. That's the point.
Right.
You need to not fail. I don't care if you try. The trying, the process, I don't care about that. I need the result of an A or a B.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. However, I do believe, for me, I did praise your process. For both of you all. Because at one point, you went to Metro Classical High School. And I was praising the process because it was very difficult for you.
Yeah. Like, and you were. You were praising the process. But I feel like at that point, it was just so
much
ingrained in me that you need the results and the process doesn't matter. That's all I was focusing on was the result. Like, absolutely. Yeah, you're praising me for the process. Don't nobody care about that. I still got a D.
Yeah.
So I'm not...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not worried about the process. I'm worried about the actual result. And I think that that's kind of stunted me as a adult, pre-adult. Wow. What's the word? Young adult?
Yes.
As a young adult, as an adult, I feel like that's kind of stunted me because that's what I think about when I do anything. I think about the result. What's the end result? What are we going to get to? Not focus on the process as you go.
Right.
But let's get to the end result. We need an end result and we need it to be good. And that's what we need to focus on, not the process of getting to that good thing.
And to be honest and fair, I struggle with the same thing. The process.
Yeah.
Right? Because I see the end result. It's the process that I struggle with. Because of that results. You're absolutely right. I was a results kid.
Yeah.
Right? My mom wanted results. So the process didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where, yeah, I cheated to get the result.
And they were proud of the result, so I must have did the right thing.
Exactly. Exactly. So what do you think about the education, Michael? Was the education something treated differently?
For me personally?
Yes.
Well, I can't say that I know for certain. Sure. Because by the time that education really mattered for me, which was like around sixth grade, because elementary school was a breeze. I loved going to elementary school.
Absolutely. And,
like, I got great grades there. But by the time I went to sixth grade, seventh grade, Ronique was off to college. She was, like, leaving So I don't really.
I think it was like late high school.
It was late. It was late. That was late middle school. Because we moved here in 2014.
2014.
Yeah, we moved here in 2014, and that's when I stepped.
Senior year doesn't count because who cares? So yeah, by the time that I was in middle school,
the panoramic kind of ruined monkey senior year.
Like, okay. No, I'm talking about your senior year. Like, you weren't really checking for her like that. Like, you weren't really like on her neck about her getting her stuff because she's on her way out.
Yeah.
So by the time that I reached middle school and I'm like here, there wasn't really much of like
a comparison.
Yeah. Yes, I will say when I first reached sixth grade, we were still living in the city. No, it wasn't unfair. You did the same things that to like when you,
right
to Ronique that you did to me. Like you took stuff away.
Right.
I was grounded. I couldn't go outside. I couldn't like right. it was the same.
Actually, the whooping stopped.
Yeah, they stopped by that point. So like
yeah.
It was the same thing. Okay. So I don't feel that I was treated. I think I got the same amount of treatment. But in terms of like where I got to go to school, and where like the opportunities that I had,
yeah,
that was like a bit different. I don't believe I would have gotten those into the like in the city unless I tested into a school such as like Metro Classical or McKinley or something like that.
Absolutely, you know? Absolutely. And I'm going to agree about the opportunities because you got the opportunities to leave the country. She didn't.
Yeah.
Even in school, you know.
But even then, yeah, that doesn't matter. Never mind.
Yeah.
What I was about to say, it doesn't matter. Oh, not what you're saying.
Not what you're saying. I was like,
because I was about to say that my opportunity to go out of the country was not through the school. That was by way of a teacher extending some kindness to us.
Exactly.
But through, I would not have met that teacher if I had not gone to that school.
That school, therefore, right.
What the statement didn't matter. But that, yes.
There you go. It still was an avenue.
Yeah.
It still was an avenue. And yeah. I think Ronique is right. She would have enjoyed having the opportunity to go out the country and do other things.
With the schools that I went to, like they didn't even offer like the sports that Mikey or the extra or the extracurriculars that he had available to him. Like we had one basketball team and we shared it with another school and a cheerleading squad of four people. Like there was
nothing.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was all I had.
Yeah. But I think for Ronique, she was just done. Even when she got to high school, let's get this over with. Mm-hmm. That was kind of her mentality. I think she enjoyed, because you went to elementary school. I think you may have enjoyed a little of that.
I enjoyed elementary school. Things got real rough when we got into middle school.
Yeah.
By the time we got into high school, I was just sick of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think, and I can't say this for sure, but you're not a school person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're more artistic than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So to read the book and do the work,
yeah, no.
Must I?
I mean, like, I feel like I'm a learner. I like to learn things.
Absolutely.
And I like to constantly be learning. But I feel like at a certain point, especially in the American school system, you stop learning new things. You're just going over the same stuff
right.
that you went over the year before that and the year before that and the year before that, and you're not learning anything new. So at a certain point, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is my third time in American history. I don't care.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's wrong anyway.
Right.
Okay, well, that's another subject. Anywho, we're talking about just having favoritism in certain areas of the mother-daughter or a parent-child relationship is really what I want to say. Parent-child relationship. So we know that there were some disparities in education. Let's talk about disparities in time investment. Is there any differences with time invested into one another? Like, at times, a parent can be spending a lot of time with one child and not so much with the other, and vice versa.
No. I mean, I feel like because you and I, again, have that closer female relationship.
Right.
We can do a lot more, and so we spend a lot more time together. You know, we can go to Ulta or, you know, go to the movies or
Absolutely.
Go to Longhorn or whatever we want to do.
Right.
But I don't feel like the time was ever split unfairly. I feel like you were there when we needed you.
Okay.
And that's what I feel like was important. Like, even if at that time it was more about Mikey, if I needed you, you were there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I don't believe I required a lot of time, just mommy and me time, TBH. And so, therefore, I think that you and Ronique spent a lot more time together, and it honestly has never really bothered me.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I definitely needed that time more.
Yeah, it never really bothered me. I feel like the only times that it would bother me is when you guys would go and you would do something that I also wanted to do, but you wouldn't think to ask me because you were so used to being together alone.
And how did that make you feel?
Not great. Okay. So I said something about it. Did it happen a lot? It happened enough for me to say something about it.
Okay, and so when you said something about it.
Yeah, once I said something about it, you guys started asking me if I wanted to go do things, and it was usually a no. And then after that.
But it's not the point. The response isn't the point. The point is that we took the time to think about him.
Gotcha.
But then other times you guys would do stuff like we're going to Longhorn, we're about to go to the mall, we're going to go to Bath & Body Works. And I'd be like, okay, yeah.
Okay.
If I'm like, I'm not doing anything else, like, of course.
Okay.
But
the thought was to ask.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Especially if it was something that I wanted to do. If you guys were going to like the movies to see like the new action movie, I was like, okay, right. That's cool. Yeah. I hope you guys have a good time. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I hope this conversation has been helpful for everyone. And so that you know, I did not personally have a conversation with them prior to this show.
We did not.
So everything is authentic and it's genuine.
Yeah.
And I am always willing to bear what I have and know and understand to be to other people just to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys know me. I'm about standing in your truth.
Yeah.
If you wrong, you wrong. If you right, you right. And I was fully prepared to be wrong in this conversation today. I'm not going to lie, because at the end of the day, I know I didn't do everything right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, at the end of the day, I know I'm not perfect. You know, I'm not a perfect mom. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, I know that I could have done some things differently. But to hear this conversation, for one, makes my heart glad. And for two, I hope this opens the door for you to think about how you're treating your children,
mm-hmm.
right? How you're treating your son versus your daughter. Of course, we're going to love our children. That's what we are. We're moms. We're going to love them. But I couldn't be the mom I could be to you guys if I did not deal with my own issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? If I didn't deal with my own brokenness, my own hurt, my own pain, tell the truth to myself about how I was feeling so that I could see that whoopings was not working for him.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I could see, you know what? Mike did have a better education than my daughter. Yep, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't deal with that, then I'll be like, nah, I try my best. I will be defending what you are stating today. And I'm not defending anything. It is what it is.
I believe that you absolutely did the best you could with what you had for both of us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And all I can hope is that it didn't traumatize you.
The most I feel like we asked for was that you be there, that you be attentive, and that you listen.
Yes.
And you were always that.
Like, we never asked you to be perfect or to always know, and I don't know was a pertinent answer that came up always when we would ask you questions.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes you just didn't know, and we learned to live with that.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't the end
of the world.
Okay, so
mom don't know, let me go find out. Let me go figure it out. And then I'll come back and I'll share that knowledge with mom.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Because it was important for me to have your trust.
Yeah.
And in order for me to have your trust, I had to be integral,
mm-hmm.
right? I had to operate in integrity. And I could not lie to you about something that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even no matter how, you know, silly you thought the question was or how deep the question was or whatever you wanted to know, I had to tell you what I knew. And if I didn't know, I had to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and again, but that's about me dealing with me and understanding I don't have all the answers.
Right.
And I need you guys to know I don't have all the answers, that I'm trying my best. And I think in moments of you all growing up, you were able to see that vulnerability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's happening. You know what I'm saying? Y'all like, okay, well, we need answers. And I'm like, I don't have any. Okay. So I think that's really, really important. So hopefully this podcast is helping you guys have that conversation. Guys, you're going to have the hard conversation. Mm-hmm. As you notice, when they begin to talk about their experience with their dads, guess what I did? Shut up and let them speak. Mm-hmm. That's going to be important. So I want to give you guys some tips. Moms, dads, I want to give you guys some tips on what you can do to actually have this candid conversation with your children. But not only that, recognize whether or not you're actually playing favorites. Mm-hmm. And one child is feeling left out. So first and foremost, you got to recognize feelings are just temporary. Mm-hmm. Okay? You can always change their feelings about something.
Yeah.
If they... Michael gave us the example of how you and I were constantly doing stuff together and not asking him. Mm-hmm. So he was feeling left out. Right?
Right.
So he came and said, hey, ask a brother something. Now, 90% of the time his answer was no.
Right.
But he wanted to be asked. So guess what? Now, his feelings change about that.
Right.
Don't think that how they're feeling about you is forever.
Yeah.
And I think we get caught up on that, mm-hmm. because we want to be great parents. We want to be better parents.
You can't
don't
be great
think that their relationship, and please, they're teenagers. They're going through 99,000 different feelings every minute of the day.
It's the ghetto for real.
Okay. For absolutely. Real. Absolutely.
Nah, wait till you get to adulthood.
Okay. And then the second thing I want to give you guys is avoid comparisons. Don't compare your kids. There are two separate individuals with two separate different needs. Mm-hmm. One child may love PlayStation, and the other one don't even care. Mm-hmm. Don't force that one to play PlayStation just so you can have some you time.
I do appreciate that. I do appreciate you never comparing us. I don't remember any time where you ever...
Absolutely not.
I don't remember you ever comparing me and Mikey, but I remember me and Mikey being compared to other kids, like their parents are yeah. comparing, like, why can't you be more like Rodnique and Mikey? And right. I'm like,
sorry. Yikes, I can go.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. I never, ever, ever, ever did that because I first had to recognize you were two separate individuals with your separate needs. And I wanted to meet those needs. And let me tell you something, sometimes it was exhausting. Mm-hmm. Okay? But it was important, again, your trust as your mom, that was super, it's still important.
Yeah.
That you trust me. It's still important that if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And if I'm not, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Right? And if I change my mind, let's talk about why.
Right.
Right.
Right? So that's going to be super key, guys. Don't compare your kids to each other.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
It is definitely the thief of joy. And it messes with their self-esteem because they don't think they're good enough.
Mm-hmm. Or they need to be someone else in order to be worthy.
Exactly.
And they don't, and they can't. Okay? Resist the urge to accommodate. Uh-huh. Resist the urge to accommodate children. We can be respectful. I really do believe you can respect your children. But accommodating cripples children.
What do you mean by accommodate?
So when I talk about accommodating, unless you are a special needs child, I'm not going to baby you at the age of 25.
Gotcha.
Unless you are special needs, I'm not going to accommodate you at 19.
Gotcha.
Some things you have to let them figure out on their own. Mm-hmm. You have to let them make the mistakes and just be there to support them.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. At 16, 17, 15, you know, the teenage years, the adolescent years, I get it. They still need guidance, mm-hmm. but I don't need to treat you all you don't need to treat children at 16 like they six.
Right.
That's accommodating.
Gotcha.
Right? You said you had a friend who mama pay her rent just to get out of her house.
Yep.
That's accommodating, mm-hmm. right? Because she don't want to be bothered with it. She pays her rent.
They live in the same apartment complex.
And she keeps her over there. Mm-hmm. Go home, okay?
And get away from me.
Instead of dealing with the issues that helps her to stand on her own and she can have a healthy relationship with her daughter.
Yeah.
She's accommodating bad behavior and saying that it's okay for you to have this bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Because mama is going to pay for it. Mm.
mama is going to hide you from it. Mm-hmm. Don't accommodate. Treat your 16 like a 16-year-old, and if they're not acting like a 16-year-old, if they're not acting like a 10-year-old, then where we have to look at ourselves as parents. Mm-hmm. How can I make this situation better? Okay? At the end of the day, if they're not special needs, quit babying grown folk.
Please.
Please. Please. Okay? All right? The next thing is make things equal. Make things equal, right? Mm-hmm. I remember if I got one for Ronique, I got one for Mike. Mm-hmm. We always gonna, and if I couldn't get one for the one, then you weren't gonna get nothing. Mm-hmm. All right? That was always the case. While I was married, not married, if you had a Nintendo, that little thing, that little game, Game Boy. Mike had a Game Boy. Mm-hmm. When you got your Kindle, Mike, we got them at the same time. Mm-hmm. We are not saying, no, you can get this, and no, you can, no, absolutely not. Now, I definitely understand the age gap and the age difference, so the interest may be different, but that don't mean they can't get something.
Yeah.
Right? Your child may be 2, the other one may be 9. I'm sure that 9-year-old and that 2-year-old get them something both at the same time.
Yeah.
Even though that 2-year-old may not understand why they're getting something right now, you need to start from scratch treating them equally.
Yeah.
That way when they become older, you're used to treating them equally.
And they're used to being treated equally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So just those are some tips. I got these tips and some of what I've stated today. I got it from an article on verywellfamily.com, an article called Do Parents Really Have a Favorite Child? And it is by Sherry Gordon. So check that out on verywellfamily.com. Thank you, Sherry, for those wonderful, wonderful tips, because those are the tips that I actually used. At the time, I didn't realize that was what I was doing. But again, moms, dads, when you deal with your own mess, I had to deal with my own mess. I had to deal with my hurts, my pains. I had to deal with people I didn't forgive. I had to deal with my own childhood trauma so that I could have a better relationship with my children. One thing I've always wanted was to be able to have an excellent relationship with my kids, because God let me know that if I failed as a mother, I have failed at this ministry. Mm-hmm. Period. And I didn't want to fail at this ministry. So the mere fact that I have this podcast with you, my daughter, is one of the most honorable, right? Like, I'm honored to be able to do this with you. The fact that we got Mike to sit down with us and have a candid conversation, me as a mom, I am super, super honored. And I'm thankful. And I feel like in this moment, I've done something right. You know, for you guys to be honest and truthful about what you're speaking about, how you're growing up, and whether it was a favorite or you were treated equal or fairly. I am so thankful that God allowed me to be your parent. Right? And I may not be the perfect parent, but I am the perfect parent for you.
Exactly.
And that's what matters. Yes.
Yes. I'm glad you're my mom.
Yes.
Some of the other people.
Okay. I done seen some other mothers out there. I'm glad y'all my children. Because I done seen some other children out there. Okay.
I have so many conversations with so many moms, and they just, I'm like, I don't even have kids, but what are you doing?
Let me tell you, I'm a sensitive child. I would have been taking dirt naps by now. I would have had to get up out of here, because I can't handle all that. So thank you very much for being the woman that you are and being the mother that you are to both of us.
Yeah, and identifying that we are two different people with two separate needs and adapting yourself to that. Because some people get into like one parenting style and they're like, this is my parenting style, I can't change it, this is just what it is.
Absolutely.
But I feel like you adapted to both of us.
Yeah.
Especially when it came to the attention thing. Because like Mikey said, he didn't really require a lot of attention.
Right.
But I feel like I required a lot of attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Mike did require a lot of attention. He just didn't get it. Because he and I talked about the abandonment he has felt sometimes, especially during the divorce.
Mm-hmm. Well, because of the abandonment, I learned to live without it.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, it wasn't personal for me, because by that time, I'd had enough conversations with you and with my father and with family members, and I got a pretty good view of what was happening at that time, and so I never really held it against you until I needed you to be there, and then you weren't.
Yeah.
Until it came time for me to really trust you in this adult, young adult life, and then I didn't.
Yeah.
But when it came to how I felt when you guys were actively spending time together without me, it did not really faze me.
Okay. All right. And we are working on that trust. Mm-hmm. We're working on building that relationship. Mm-hmm. I think finally you and I in the house and nobody else, okay, is definitely helping us grow. Right? It's definitely helping us grow. So what he has said, I am not offended, guys. Take ownership.
Yeah.
Because it's valid. He had abandonment issues. Mm-hmm. And I played a part in that. If I didn't clean up myself, I would sit here and make excuses. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we favor one child over the other, because we haven't dealt with our own issues. You know, I talked about the young lady who she just felt like her mother didn't like her. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because her mother don't like herself.
Right.
Right? Whether it's jealousy or whether it's, you know, the fact that, you know, she was a victim of rape or she was a victim of something else, something traumatic. At the end of the day, it's torn her and her mother apart. And until her mother faces a lot of what her childhood trauma, her fears, the scars that she has, they may never get that relationship.
And I feel like the way that me and Rodney go about our relationship with you is that, like, when it comes to the places that or the instances that you did fail as a mother, we give you a lot of grace because we recognize that with other people, it could be a lot worse for us in those situations.
Some people have been failing since day one.
Yeah.
They stopped.
Like, horrendously.
It's not just one failure. It's like, so on day one, you did this, and then on day two, you did this, and now we're 25 years later, and it's like, damn.
And instead, the stack keeps getting higher.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, when you say that I needed the attention, yeah, it may have helped, but I'm like, I could be on a leash outside tied to a tree in the backyard. Like, I could be in the basement just pulling maggots out of potatoes trying to get some form of nutrition. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be a lot worse. I could be living with my father. So it could be a lot worse.
Would be the worst of all the things. Let me tell you, when you got divorced, you asked me, you like, don't you want to go live with him? I'm like, no.
Why would you do that?
Why would I want to do that? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You said that several times.
That was trauma.
It had to be. I'm like, this lady didn't love her.
That does not mean it was imaginary.
I think you asked if I wanted to go live with his dad. You asked if we wanted to go live with his dad, and then you also asked if I wanted to go live with my dad. And I'm like, why would I?
Yeah, I think that was trauma at the time. I'm not going to deny it. It's either trauma or she had a nightmare. Those are the, and so she recalls that conversation in the trauma or the nightmare. Either way, I acknowledge it. I hear you. Okay. And I'm going to even apologize for what I said in the dream.
Thank you.
In the nightmare.
Thank you.
All right.
That's all I need.
All right, guys. That is our time. Thank you so much for tuning in to A Daughter's Dilemma. Please reach out to us at adaughtersdilemma@gmail.com if you have any questions, concerns, you want to tell us your story, your mom and dad, what's some favoritisms going on, what's some treating differently, bad, good, or indifferent. It doesn't matter. We would love, 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 love to hear from you. Follow us on Instagram at A Daughter's Dilemma. And until next time, I am Nephra, the mother.
And I am Rodnique, the daughter.
And I'm Michael, the son.
And remember that every woman is someone's daughter.
And every daughter can be an excellent mother. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.